So we officially know now that D'Angelo's in a coma.
Yeah. Poor guy.
Right? At least we have that established.
What do you get somebody who's in a coma?
We could get D'Angelo flowers.
No, you can't get flowers for someone who's in a coma. They'll wilt before he wakes up.
Yeah, that's true. Good
point. All in favor of the baskets full of chocolates, teddy bears, and balloons.
Wait. All in favor of the knapsack filled with canned goods, chainsaw, gasoline, and emergency radio in case he wakes up post-apocalypse?
Nope, baskets have it.
I tend to agree with Dwight. I think a survival kit is really warranted here. I mean, a basket full of survival gear just in case. I mean, maybe that's because I've been watching The Walking Dead.
Oh, that's 100% because That's 100% because you've been watching The Walking Dead. That was the hardest sentence I've ever had to say. Please leave all that in.
But I think that has infected my reasoning and infected. I agree with Dwight. I think that would be kind of a cool thing to wake up to and useful if it becomes necessary.
The last thing you see is a basketball goal coming down on your head. Mm-hmm. And then you wake up and there's undead zombies everywhere.
And you have tools to help you combat them. You are
Thanks,
ready.
Dwight.
I mean, what are you going to do with a teddy bear? Nothing. Even if everything's fine and there are no zombies, what are you going to... Okay, even if there is no survival situation, I mean, like, the stuff that would be in that basket would still be super useful. Hello? Are you quitting? You just left. You just, like, walked away and you're like,
just
and...
contemplating, you know, what I would want if I were in a coma when I woke up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I mean, because, like, food won't last because you don't know how long... The coma's
right.
gonna
Flowers
last.
Will wilt.
Newspapers or magazines will be outdated.
I don't know what I would want. I guess Dwight's right. That's upsetting.
Well, good thing that this episode is all about Dwight. We are talking about season 7, episode 24, Dwight K. Schrute, parentheses, acting manager, originally airing on May 12th, 2011. I forgot how wonderful this episode was. This episode's fantastic.
It's not only one of my favorites of this season, I think it's in my one of my all-time favorites.
What surprised me is this wonderful episode coming on the heels of losing Steve Carell / Michael Scott, and it's still feeling so very Office. I feel like we've kind of gone through this whole era of sadness with, like, Michael leaving. Like, there was a lot of heavy emotions. Mm-hmm. Then we had the terrible D'Angelo episodes. And it's like we've been starving for our typical Office antics. And this episode has it just... It is packed full, which is fantastic. And it's also, if we refer back to that, the phrase, the killing field, where it's just like joke after joke after joke. And there's just nonstop. You have to like, I think I've never heard half of the jokes in this episode because they just go through so quickly and it just happens and it's delightful. And I feel like we finally come home.
I think it's no accident that Dwight and Jim are at the heart of this episode because this is what makes this feel like one of those classic early episodes because it is based mostly around them. We also have the sort of the element we talked about this in the run up to Michael leaving where there were a bunch of episodes that sort of focused on potential successors to Michael, and Dwight was never in that running. But now that he's gone, now that Michael's gone, we have an episode where, like, well, what would it be like if Dwight were in charge?
And it is everything we thought it would be. We should definitely start at the beginning of this episode because we did have the cold open.
Coma open.
The cold coma open. Because even in this cold open, it sets up Dwight as the acting manager. We then have the rest of the episode that takes place 1 week later or a month later, according to Jim.
Dwight has been acting manager for 3 months now? Nope. A week. Just feels like 3 months.
But still, it sets up everything for this episode. And so we have the little conference room meeting where they are talking about sending D'Angelo a get well basket. And then we see the office functioning without a manager and how delightful it kind of is. They have a foosball table in the manager's office. It looks kind of like a dream.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, Jim has this comment of like, you know, everything's kind of humming along. We're all adults. Things are getting done.
So as it turns out, unless you're a young child or a prison inmate, you don't need anyone supervising you. People just come in and do their work on their schedule. Imagine that. People like us allowed to sell paper, unsupervised. And yet somehow it works. Must be because the stakes are so high.
And he doesn't really want to rock that boat. I think this shows some maturity on Jim's part, especially when Joe calls and asks him to be the interim manager. And he says, you know, he basically turns it down, that he's happy with the way things are. And I love this reveal. As he's telling Pam, who was on the phone, Dwight's phone begins to ring. And they realize effectively what has happened, as Dwight very quietly says, yes, absolutely, I would like to do that. And then he just gets up, walks in Michael's office, and sits down. And Pam has this look of terror on her face.
What have you done?
Yeah, Pam realizes that mistake, and that leads us into the rest of the episode. And Jim is refusing to get out of his car.
Can't stay there all day.
He doesn't have the enthusiasm for Dwight's leadership that that maybe somebody like Angela does.
I like how they set this up too, because so we have the cold open where Dwight was given the acting manager position, and then we have time for Dwight to kind of establish the Dwightness over the office. And so I like that they bring us back a week later and we can already see all the changes that Dwight has implemented. Mm-hmm. And not only that, in between the cold open and the actual show, we have a new custom intro. And we see Dwight kind of adjusting a samurai warrior on his desk the way that Michael would adjust the Dundee.
Yep. Yeah, it's a nice little moment.
We've had a bunch of little unique opening credits, and I've liked that they've done that. They keep that so quirky, and I really enjoy that they put those little niceties, those little nods to the fans in there.
I love Dwight's managerial moment here. Just this episode is so full of little touches that, you know, Dwight would have probably agonized over, and we see them just in very quick succession. The day opens, like we said, with Jim not wanting to get out of the car, and we start learning about some of these changes that Dwight has made. So there's this old-timey, rusty, kind of dangerous time clock for punching in and out.
We all have to punch into a time clock, which is very old, very strong, and has the slot about the size of a finger.
And it just sounds incredible. It's like, ka-kung, you know, it's like, it's great. There are new business cards that are bigger than regular business cards to set them apart from the competition. But it does reveal everyone's new job title, which is junior employee.
Gosh, all these changes are so wonderfully Dwight. It's like he's been, it's like he has a list all ready to go. Actually, no, I think he does have a list all ready to go, because we've seen that he has some sort of journal system in previous episodes, and he's definitely going through a list of the things that he would change in the office should he ever become manager, and he is finally getting to do them all.
Yeah, yeah. They're staggered lunch breaks. Jim is at 10:30 a.m., which is a real bummer.
Our lunch breaks are staggered to prevent wasting time. Mine's at 10:30, and I find that the first hour of the day goes by a lot quicker than the second 7 hours.
I love that quick shot of him just eating alone in the break room.
Mornings start with the Pledge of Allegiance, I guess, like when you're in elementary school. There's some really nice, just really quick shots in this. This scene is worth watching a couple of times because I had to catch everything. There is a huge portrait painting of Dwight hanging over the little couch at reception. So Dwight is always watching, literally always watching. As they're saying the Pledge of Allegiance, a couple background things. One, Oscar refuses to say under God and sort of like makes a look, a smug look at the camera as he very noticeably doesn't say those two words in the Pledge of Allegiance. But Creed in the background is holding his hands together as if he's praying instead of having a hand over his heart.
I don't know if Creed knows the Pledge of Allegiance.
Probably not. You know, so when you go to sporting events, someone will sing or perform the national anthem, right, before basketball or football game or hockey, if that's where you are or whatever. And maybe next time, instead of, you know, taking my hat off or, you know, holding my hand over my heart, maybe I just put my hands together like Creed and see if anybody notices. See if my dad smacks me in the back of the head.
I think you should. I think you should definitely do that.
Okay. Yeah. I got tickets for a football game tomorrow night. We'll see how that goes.
Oh my gosh. Please do it.
Angela is, so I love, like, Angela Kinsey does such a good job as Angela Martin in these little moments where she is like trying to hide pride or happiness, especially over Dwight. And we see it sprinkled throughout through all the series, right? Where like a very, I think, famous one is in Casino Night, where he like grabs her and kisses her on the cheek, and then she slaps him and walks away, but then she's like smiling as she does it. We get another one of those. She seems very proud that Dwight has done all of this.
Mm-hmm.
She also says amen at the end of the Pledge of Allegiance, which is a nice touch. I'm telling you, this scene takes 8 seconds, but there's so much in it. It's great.
There are tons of other changes. There is, of course, a redecorating of the management office. There is this giant stone desk. There is a piranha swimming around, a suit of samurai armor. And a gun in a case on the desk, which is very, it's it's literally Chekhov's gun. I mean, it's right there, right? Like, it's what it is. And we also have Dwight, he coded the copier, so you have to put in a very long string of numbers in order to make a copy.
There's been a problem with some people sharing copier codes. Your copier code is a distinct 21-digit number that is unique to you and you only, okay? Don't share it.
This is the one thing that I see that Angela mm-hmm. does not approve of.
No, because she is stuck, as we see a couple of times, including in the tag, which is hysterical, trying to get Kevin to use his copier code by, like, reading it out loud. Like, we've all been in that situation, right, where you're like doing something and someone's reading you the directions, or maybe you're like filling out a form and someone's reading you their credit card number or something, and it sometimes it's mm-hmm. really hard to pay attention to that, right? Because you're like almost too focused on it, and we see that Kevin struggles in that situation. It's pretty great.
4-1-7-1
Another one?
Yes!
7
Could you turn the volume down on the beeping?
6 9 Shut up, Oscar. 8
9 first. Put the 9.
9. 8. 8. Okay. 5.
Thank you.
3. 0. 0. Again, 0.
Okay.
4. 6.
Nice.
2.
Oh, I 1. Hit 3. I hit 3 instead.
God!
There is also a whole bunch of restrictions on various employee passwords and firewalls, and the vending machine has all been replaced with cards that say go on down to the Dwight Cafe yeah. that's downstairs. There is a ton of ways that Dwight has made life way, mm-hmm. way worse in the office. And this, of course, prompts Jim to start a little bit of a coup. And so he decides to set up a club, a social club, as he says. Definitely not a rebellion, but definitely a rebellion.
The Fist. Yeah, he has posters. Dwight wants to join, but he can't. It's a bad day with Operation Overthrow, you know.
Hey, what do you think you're doing? What's this? What's the Fist?
Oh, it's just a social club, you know, like the French Revolution or the Black Panthers or communism. It's just a club. Guys talking, you know.
You expect me to believe that you're starting a rebellion?
Nope, a social club. God, I hate when everybody calls us a rebellion.
Okay, you know what? I would love to join the Fist.
And we would love to have you, but not today. Unfortunately, it's a bad day. What with Operation Overthrow and everything. But I have noted it.
And Dwight rips down the poster that Jim puts up, and Jim promptly reappears with 2 more posters to replace it. It is very fantastically classic Jim mm-hmm. pranking, where the stakes are pretty low, but it's just enough to mess with yeah. Dwight.
There is coffee in the kitchen, as always, but instead of just being a coffee pot there, it's now 50 cents a cup on the honor system, but there is an old-timey security camera pointed right at it. Oh, Kelly is late, and there's this great scene between Kelly and Dwight, who I guess is just waiting for her and, like, jumps out at her.
Aha! Oh, my God, what is wrong
gotcha.
With you?
Why are you late?
It's none of your business, actually. It's very medical and personal.
All right. You stop me when I reach the diseased area.
And he starts pointing down at the floor at her feet and slowly works his way up. And it is hilarious. And this is one of those office things that sometimes we repeat in our household. You know, if someone says they feel bad or, you know, you wake up kind of feeling strange, it's like, well, stop me when I get to the diseased area.
That's fantastic. I love that you do that in your house. That's so good. Oh, man, I want to do that now, too. That's great. inappropriate for a workplace.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah,
fine at home.
But Dwight's happy. We get this talking head that he's as happy as he'll ever be because he is the acting manager, although he downplays acting, which I think is a little nod to the assistant to the regional manager.
I will never be happier than I am right now. I will also never be less happy. I will be at my current maximum happiness for the rest of my life because I am manager of the Scranton branch of Dunder Mifflin. Acting manager.
It's been his dream for so long. It's what he's wanted to do, and now he has it, and it just means the world to him. He's just beaming as he sits in Michael's old office.
Well, before we get into the main part of the episode, there is kind of like a little bit of a B plot, even though I'm sure you hate it because it involves Gabe.
I don't like Gabe. So Gabe is still reeling from his breakup with Aaron. And of course, Andy's involved. We should say, by the way, that Andy is dressed like Dwight. He's not in yellow. He's still in the Andy color palette, but he's wearing a light blue short sleeve dress shirt. He has a tie and he's wearing a watch. So he has Dwight vibes in his outfit.
Personality mirroring.
That's right. Yeah.
That's Andy's secret to success.
It is. But Gabe, you know, he still is very upset anytime he sees Andy and Aaron talking, and he kind of drags Andy into the conference room. He shuts all the blinds and says, you know, do you still love her? You know, I still love her. You can't date her. Say you won't date her. Gabe is freaking out on Andy.
Are you still in love with Aaron?
What?
Because I am. I need to get her back. I can't be alone anymore. Andy, do you like being alone with me right now?
No, this is horrifying.
No, I don't like being alone with me either. Okay, I have to get Aaron back.
This time it feels way more desperate, though. Like before, it was angry and aggressive. And now it's desperate. And Gabe's like crying about it. And he's getting way more emotional than before. The previous interaction was threatening. And now this is begging.
Gabe.
I mean, this carries out throughout the rest of the episode, right? Like, it's the little sprinkling here and there. We have a confrontation again between Gabe and Andy in the kitchen, and Gabe is trying to sabotage his friendship with Aaron.
Hope I'm not interrupting anything.
No.
Hey, Andy, did you tell Aaron about our conversation earlier when you said you would never want to date her again? I just thought that it was so interesting that you promised that.
Did I say that earlier? Yes, I did. Because you, Gabe, were crying.
No, I was not.
And sobbing uncontrollably. Yes. Uh-huh. You were in hysterics and my maternal instincts kicked in.
Andy tries to save the situation as best he could without basically shouting, hey, you're a huge liar. And Gabe just continues to get more and more desperate. There's even a moment where when Andy needed help to go to the hospital, which we'll get into why, Gabe refuses to let Aaron go with Andy. And so, yeah, it's just like throughout the episode, it's just this little bit of animosity still continuing between Gabe and Andy. But that isn't the main part of the episode. And what we really need to focus on is Dwight as manager and how that plays out. Even though this is such a chocked full episode, it all does move very quickly because the thing that fills up this episode are the jokes and the pranks and the visuals and the little quick clips of everything moving around. It makes it feel like a much longer episode than it actually is. But when you just get down to the plot, it's pretty simple. Mm-hmm. And once we see Dwight get gifted a holster from his uncle as kind of a congratulations on your new job, things go terribly from there. Even more than they have before.
Yeah, so he's got this gun, and he is, he's walking around the office, gets in the holster. People immediately notice the gun is cocked the whole time, which is not how you're supposed to have a gun stored or in a holster or in a case. Obviously, extremely dangerous. And, people are like, hey, you can't do this. Like, stick a banana in there, stick a cell phone in there. He writes both ideas off as ridiculous.
Dwight, guns make me really uncomfortable.
The gun is just an accessory to the holster, okay? I can't walk around wearing an empty holster.
Why do you need to wear the holster at all?
Why do you need to keep wearing those booby shirts all the time?
Thank you.
You could put your cell phone in it instead.
Hello?
You could put a banana in it.
Why would I put a banana in my holster?
In case you weren't hungry now, but you got hungry later.
Dwight, no gun, okay? Don't make us call Joe.
Okay, all right. Fine. Everyone calm down.
And he finally agrees that he'll put it up, and he goes to spin it around his finger, and the gun fires right near Andy's desk.
Someone get me a banana. Sorry I freaked you guys out.
Ah! Andy!
Ah! God! It's so loud!
And Andy grabs the side of his face. Aaron thinks Andy's been shot.
I think we all think Andy's been shot.
They all run over there. He's not shot, thank God. The bullet went to the floor, which sets Oscar off, which we'll talk about in a second, I guess. but Andy has hearing damage, as you would imagine, a handgun going off. I think everyone in the room would have hearing damage, but it went right off near Andy. And he can't hear. He's freaking out because he can't hit his perfect notes. And Dwight knows, I think, pretty immediately that he's screwed up.
There is panic, there is fear, there's anger, like everyone's reacting, and Dwight looks absolutely shocked. Like, he did not expect this to happen, and he kind of, I think, knows that this is the beginning of the end, and he desperately tries to go around the office to make good on what happened here and try and salvage this, because on the heels of this day, Joe is due to come on in and talk to Dwight about how he's been doing, because now it's been about a week that he's been acting manager, and this is his chance to kind of convince her that he should have the job. And this is also the day that he accidentally fires a gun in the office. So we have some high stakes for Dwight sitting here, because there's also a phone call that's attempted to Joe, but we'd find out that she is already on her way. There's a lot of panic setting in.
Yeah, absolutely. And rightfully so, because, like, you shot a gun in the office.
So Andy is on his way to the hospital with Daryl, helping him out. Andy gets up and starts limping, yeah. And Daryl calls him out on it. Very similar to Michael when he gets slapped by Pam.
What's wrong with you?
It's my ear.
Yeah.
And also on the heels of this, we see Dwight attempting his first character as manager, Gun Safety Dwight.
Yeehaw! Woohoo! Howdy, partners, it's me, Gun Safety Dwight. And now I'm the rootinest. I can't do this. Look, obviously a gun went off under my watch, and I'm launching a full investigation.
We all saw you do it.
He is calling everyone into the conference room to discuss what just happened, and he is trying to be this gun safety character, very similar to Michael's style of management, and it quickly falls apart because it's just not him. But he does start asking everybody, like, what can I possibly do to make this up to everybody and to also have you all shut up when Joe shows
up? He wants everybody to cover for him and not to bring it up. Toby, by the way, is just very excited he gets to use his gun violence form, because he's never used that before, which I like.
Oh, I should get the accident report binder. I've never used the gun violence forms before.
That's right. Ryan feels terrorized. And so now Toby gets to use his terrorism form also. Double mm-hmm. fun day for Toby.
Would you consider this a terrorist incident?
I felt terrorized.
Come on.
Oh, there's a whole nother terrorism book for that.
And Oscar's very concerned that there are hardwood floors underneath the carpeting. How could they do this?
That's the real tragedy of all of this.
My God. There is a hardwood floor underneath this carpeting. Why would they do that?
So people have some demands, because in this meeting, it just doesn't work out for Dwight. He goes, he has this great back and forth of like, I love managing you. You're my best friends. But if you cross me, I'll burn the office to the ground. But not literally, because you're important to me. But don't cross me. You know, like back and forth. It's pretty great.
Why is it on us to protect you?
Because you guys are my best friends. And I mean that. Managing you for this last week has been the greatest honor of my life. And if you ruin this, I will burn this office to the ground. And I mean that figuratively, not literally, because you guys are so, so important to me. I love you guys, but don't cross me. But you're the best.
But there's a list of demands made of Dwight. So Kelly wants a day off to go try out for American Idol. And she has this song about her temporary boss going on a shooting spree.
Why did my temporary boss go on a shooting spree?
Okay, fine. You can go on your singing audition.
Phyllis wants an extra day off. Kevin wants everything back in the vending machines except for the fruit. No fruit. Pam wants all the weapons gone, including the piranha that we've seen. In Dwight's office, Kevin later finds that fish in the toilet, which would be terrifying. Did you look at pictures of piranha? They're terrifying.
What the f*** is that? Oh my.
They are, but it was kind of cool, honestly. I was sad to see the fish go.
Real murder vibes over there at Tiff's house.
The fish looked cool. It's so chompy. Yep. It's cool.
And Jim has a couple things. He wants Dwight to do jazz hands when he coughs and... wants to work in Shagadelic Baby at least three times in the conversation. So Jim is just continuing to troll and prank Dwight. And Dwight agrees to all this because he really wants the job, right? And even when Joe is there, he's trying to bend to people's demands. He has to go over to accounting, get some paperwork from Oscar. And while he's waiting for it, Kevin like makes him massage his back. And it's very uncomfortable. Why is it moist under that jacket? No one knows. I don't want to know.
I love the position that Dwight gets himself into with his feet propped up on that filing cabinet to massage his back. And Oscar is holding up his phone, like taking a picture or a video of this. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Need that leverage.
So as Joe is leaving, Dwight, I guess his conscience catches up with him. And he pauses and then he tells Joe...
I accidentally fired a gun in the office today.
What?
I am telling you this because I care too much about this job to be blackmailed into doing it poorly. All I've ever wanted is to be manager here. And if you feel like you cannot promote me over this one accident, I understand. But if you think that extortion is worse...
Shooting is worse. Are you kidding me?
She instantly answers shooting the gun is worse, which, yes, that's true. And he doesn't get the job. You know, she can't trust him with this as much as she likes him. This isn't going to work out because that is something that just crosses a line. I mean, seriously, like in the real world, Dwight would have been fired instantly. But he's allowed to keep a sales job, but he just cannot be the manager after this.
I don't think it was his conscience that got the best of him. I think that he was tired of being manipulated by everyone, even though it only lasted like an hour. I think that being restricted by everyone and being told what to do and that he had to like hide this, that was really what was weighing on him the most, is that like he was feeling that he no longer could have been the manager that he wanted to be by being forced into, you know, these roles and these restrictive the rolling back of all of his rules that he has, you know, so lovingly applied to the office previously. And yeah, I think that that's what gets the better of him, is that like he just has to tell Joe, and I think he really thinks that Joe would have forgiven him. I really think that he was thinking that she would praise him for his honesty, or I don't know, because I think the reason he had the gun, remember, he said that he wanted to show off to Joe.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think he saw that coming, that she would take away the job from him. I think that he convinced himself that he was being manipulated for no reason, and that he was trying to hide this for no reason, and that he should come out and tell her. And nope, that is not how it turned out.
I was just trying to see the positive in a guy who accidentally shot a gun in the office. Yeah, bring it down, Tiff.
You shot a gun.
Okay, did I make a mistake? Yes. Do I regret the decision that I made? Yes.
Oh, stop asking yourself easy questions so you look like a genius.
Got it.
Joe is about to leave, but she turns back around and realizes her work here is not done, and she needs to form some sort of committee in order to find a replacement. I think it's strange that like Jim doesn't chime up to be manager, but I think that that's probably because he was making more money with commissions, even though there is now a cap. But still, he doesn't seem interested in being any kind of management anymore at all.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, when Joe walks in, she makes this comment of like, you know, hey, you're the only person who's ever turned me down. And yeah, I think that it it's not right for him. You know, maybe he had a taste of it with Michael as co-manager and he just doesn't like it, or it's probably the money. But Jim is involved in the search committee that she sets up.
Yep. On this committee, we have Gabe, Jim, and Toby, and they are in charge of finding someone to replace Michael / Dwight. And she asks immediately, like, who would be the most senior?
You three are my search committee. You're in charge of finding me my next manager. All righty?
Yep.
Till then, we need a new acting manager. Now, who's got the most experience in this office?
Well, we probably don't want to go just on seniority.
Who is it?
We see later on that Jim and Dwight are kind of having a moment after this search committee is established. And Jim is complimenting Dwight on actually like the good things that came out of his stint as manager.
But I will say, in your 1 week, every single one of the orders went out on time. And I think that is Shagadelic, baby.
He understands that Dwight is hurt, obviously, but I think he does think that Dwight did a pretty good job. And it is this nice moment between the two of them. And it's just, it's very understated, but it's great to see. But over Jim's shoulder, we see who is the manager. And it's our friend Creed.
He's settling in behind like the giant like Hussein desk that Dwight set up in there, and he is just smiling ear to ear. Oh no, it's Creed. This is like the ultimate Creed closet right there, right? Like,
oh yeah,
it's the icing on the Creed cake.
Yeah, yeah. The next episode that we have a lot of Creed to get through.
It's a big Creed episode. Yeah. But yeah, basically that's it for like like I was saying, an episode that is so chocked full of stuff. It's mainly like bits and jokes and one-liners that are thrown out that make this episode so great. It's not so much the plot, which is fairly simple.
I love it though. I really, really love this episode. And I think that its sort of straightforwardness works well for it. I think that if it had a lot of, you know, if there was a bigger B plot or a C plot or something, I think it would really distract from like this opportunity we have to see what life would be like under the leadership of Dwight. And I think that the Dwight character definitely has earned his time in the sun, even if this is one episode. So I like that it's mostly focused around that.
Me too. And I think that if they had wasted time like getting like much deeper into it, I like that a lot of it is super surfacey and we get to like little shots of everything. It's a really great look into Dwight as manager, whereas before we had only seen like him starting to like paint Michael's office black. You know, like that was maybe his little dipping his toe into the managerial pool there. But yeah, this is actually, we finally have that payoff of what life would be like in the office if Dwight were manager, completely unrestricted by anybody until Joe cuts him down. So now that we have a search committee pending, that will be our next episode, which is episode 25 of this season, search committee. And we will be back next week to talk about that. And until then, you can go and find us over on Twitter at @tall_beats. You can find us individually at ISMH and at Tiff Arment. You can subscribe to become a member over at The Incomparable and get fun goodies. Join us in our members only Slack, the conference room, back to being the conference room.
Thank goodness.
Thank goodness. Yeah, this is an absolute A+ episode for me. I love it. And let's make sure to promise everyone that we will be on our worst behavior because, I mean, you got to keep your
promises.
That's right.
Meeting of the Fist at 3:00 this afternoon by the trash can.
If I had thought that there was a real chance that Dwight would be permanent manager, I would have pre-quit. And you might be saying to yourself, well, that's pretty premature to think. But I always say it's better to be pre-prepared.